We've been in this series called Rooted, and it's a series that actually came out of our Vision Sunday when we talked about what does the future look like at Trinity. Well, the future, it's really bright. In fact, it's so bright. Anybody? You got to wear shades, right? Oh, come on. All right. Come on. Jeez. So the cool thing is we launched this vision, and at Trinity, our number one goal is to pray deeper and reach wider. You know what? Let's say that together. Say, pray deeper, reach wider. So we believe that it's through deep prayer that we're going to be able to reach wider. In fact, we believe that we're only going to be able to reach wider when we pray deeper. It works back and forth. It's going to be through deep prayer that we see God move and reveal things to us that we're supposed to be navigating the waters ahead. We feel called to the Fox Valley area. And we start in South Elgin, in St. Charles, Geneva, Batavia, North Aurora, Aurora, Montgomery, Oswego, and Yorkville. You know, those are memorized in my brain because I've been praying for those areas for such a long time. We believe God is going to reveal things within the next at least 5 years. Our goal is to launch a life-giving, relevant, gospel-centered ministry one every single year for the next 5 years. That's our goal. We're going to relaunch Celebrate Recovery in January, and I am thrilled about that. I'm thrilled with exactly, I think we should celebrate that. I'm thrilled with the opportunities that God, the doors that he's already opening, and I'll share more with you later regarding some of those open doors. But out of obedience, God had, on my sabbatical, kept talking about trust, just trust, trust. Everything that I read was about trust, and so we were trusting. And through that obedience and through that trust, we're seeing God do amazing things. So buckle your seatbelts. So a couple of things that we want to talk about being rooted is not just the church being rooted, but you being rooted as well. What does it mean for you to have a life, a daily, a weekly rhythm where you're in prayer, where you're involved in a small group or a life group, as we call it? What about a daily time with God in his word? Oh, the richness and the things that can happen in just being still and being quiet before God and getting into his word and what that can mean. What does it look like for you to grow in your faith? And not just grow in your faith, but to grow in the sense of getting deeper and your roots going deeper into spiritual soil. What does it mean to trust God with everything that you have, even including your finances? And sometimes that's the last holdout. It's finances, right? We want to hold out on that. But what does it look like for us to be in full support and just living in what God has and allowing him to breathe life into us, regardless of what aspect of our life it is? He wants to breathe life into it. And then lastly, what does it mean to share your faith? To share your faith, not just to hold on to this as something that you do, but to take that faith and to put, as a wise person once said, put it into shoe leather and to walk around and to live and to breathe and to impact the places and the people that you come in contact with. What does that look like in your world? Because we believe that's what it means to be rooted in your faith and walk with Christ. So, I don't know about you, but when I'm working in the yard, I hate weeds. I hate weeds. In fact, just even seeing that image, it's kind of like, right? I mean, these things grow fast and furious. They are gnarly. They are nasty little buggers. They've got big, sharp, pointy teeth, right? And they will take you down. In fact, even if you wear leather gloves, and sometimes when you reach down to pull a weed, that it'll go right through a leather glove. Nasty boogers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Right? And here's the other thing. They grow so stinking fast. You pull a weed one day, and like 3 days later, it doesn't even look like you pulled a weed. I'm like, are you serious right now? I mean, you pull this weed, and then a couple of days later, you all of a sudden have this weed just spouting up. It blows my mind how quickly weeds can grow. In fact, some weeds can grow up to 2-3 feet. But there's one problem with that. They might grow 2 or 3 feet in the air, but their roots only go about 1 inch or 2 inches into the ground. See, that's the funny thing about weeds. In fact, I do this with my kids all the time. Like, everything can become either a sermon analogy or a teaching point in my house. So all of a sudden, you pull a weed, and you hold up this big, gnarly beast, and it's like this long, right? And all of a sudden, you look, and down here is these tiny little roots that they're not long at all. And you think to yourself, how in the world can the roots of this weed hold this structure? And really, it can't. Sometimes if you let weeds go too long, they just start going, boop, falling over because they've grown so much. So roots are vitally important, even to weeds. Roots are vitally important. You see, the deeper the roots, the taller the tree. And it works in inverse as well. The taller the tree, you guessed it, the deeper the roots. In fact, you can tell a lot about a tree just by looking at its roots or the structure of its roots, if you can see them, right? Because most roots, 90% of the root structure is going to be invisible. It's going to be in the ground. But what you see, you've heard me say this before, but I think it's a good reiteration because it's going to be really important to what we're talking about today. When you look at a tree, you're only looking at 50% of the tree. 50% of the tree is what you see, but there's a whole other half of the tree that is equally as high as the tree is tall, as deep as the roots are low. That blows my mind. Right? Because you think to yourself, roots hold the tree in place. Roots are incredibly important. They act as an anchor, holding that tree in place. In fact, did you know that roots are good for the soil? It's a symbiotic relationship. It's not just that the soil is good for the roots, because, you know, the roots are kind of like a straw. You put a straw on the ground and you can, you know, it's like the roots are like a straw and it sucks up all the nutrients and all the water and everything else in order to help the tree grow. But it's good for the soil because it holds the soil in place so that when there is a huge rain or there's a huge flood, the tree potentially will stay in place because the roots hold the soil together. So roots are really important. Now, I don't know anyone who would argue that roots make a tree more stable. So if it's true for a tree, can we agree that spiritual roots are important to our spiritual lives? Can we agree with that this morning? So let's play a little game called What If. What If, okay? So what if your goal is a strong spiritual tree? What if that's your goal? So if your goal is to have a strong spiritual tree, then you are going to need strong spiritual roots. That's a given. Now, what if you appear to have a strong spiritual tree, but you don't have strong spiritual roots? Well, that's a problem. Because the next major storm in your life that comes through, what do you think is going to happen to your spiritual tree? It's going to get knocked down. It's going to get messed up. It's going to get thrown to the ground because you see, their spiritual roots are going to hold you firm when the storm comes. Now, notice I didn't say if the storm comes, because when you read scripture, it doesn't say that you might experience trials. It says when you experience trials. I hope that I'm not, you know, blowing your mind this morning and you're hearing this for the first time. And you probably are not hearing it for the first time because you've already experienced it. All of us have gone through some form of trial. Something has been hard, has been difficult in our life. And the truth is how our roots are deeply wound down into the soil and our spiritually rich, we pray, soil will determine how we get through that storm. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, number one, what does the root of your spiritual tree look like? Number two, is it able to uphold through the hardest storm? Is it able to survive even the strongest of winds in your life? We're going to talk more about that in a minute. You know, Scripture has a lot to say about roots. In fact, Jesus talked a ton about roots. One of the places he talked about it was in John chapter 15. Jesus actually said, "He was the vine and we are the branches." So what's amazing about that is we're understanding that Jesus is saying, "Listen, I'll be your root. I'll be the root that supplies you with the nourishment in order for you to produce fruit." Because that's what a branch does. A branch gleans from the vine. A branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it abides. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You alone cannot bear fruit unless you abide in me." And abide means literally to make your home in me or to plant your roots deep within me. That's what Jesus was saying. You will not produce spiritual fruit outside of Jesus. Paul later affirms in Romans chapter 11 and verse 16, he says, "For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too." Now, I'll be honest with you. I've read Romans chapter 11, I don't know, dozen times, more than a dozen times. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read Romans chapter 11. But I missed this little verse that has such powerful impact. Think about the significance of what Paul is saying here. "For the roots of the tree are holy, if the branches will be too." See, because he's making he's understanding the knowledge that whatever the roots are grounded in, whatever the roots are sucking up, that's what's going to be produced on the tree. So if your roots are in the sludge of life, guess what your branches are going to be filled with? The sludge of life. Guess what fruit you're going to produce? Sludge. But if your roots are firmly grounded in the nutrient soil of God's word, of resting and abiding in him, making your home in Christ, what do you think your branches are going to be filled with? Christ. And what do you think you're going to produce? Beautiful fruit. See, that's the way the roots and the branches work. So Paul is telling us here, listen, the roots are holy if the branches are holy. We see that. When the branches are going to be holy because the roots are holy. So it helps us to understand. The branches can help be holy because of where it's getting its nourishment, the roots. It's like this. I thought about doing this, but it actually sometimes can take a little bit longer, so I chose not to. But if I had a cup up here, imagine with me. If I had a cup up here that was blue, right? Like Tidy Bowl blue, okay? Again, visual memory. So you have a Tidy Bowl blue cup up here. It's clear, you can see it. And I take a paper towel and I was to twist the paper towel up. When I place that white paper towel inside that blue water, what is gonna happen? The paper towel is gonna turn blue because it's going to start sucking the water out of the paper towel. And so whatever color you put that white paper towel in, that's what it's going to turn because it's going to start to absorb out of that cup. So in John 15, Jesus says you can't produce fruit if you're severed from the vine. He tells them in this parable, you can't produce fruit if you're severed from the vine, meaning if I took that same paper towel and I hovered it over the water, I could get within a millimeter of that water. Will that paper towel turn blue? Now, some of you are chemists. I know you're going another level with this. Just stop that. But will that paper towel turn blue? No. Why? Because it's not in the water. It's not in the source. You could get it a hair's breadth away and it will not change the paper towel. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in the parable of the vine and the branches. You will not produce fruit if you're severed from the vine. And you can be really, really, really close, but it still won't make a difference unless you are abiding in the vine, unless you have allowed the vine to inhabit you and to change you and to do incredible things in you, and you also are gleaning gleaning from your roots out of that incredible, rich spiritual soil. So what happens if a tree is severed from the roots? What happens? You all know, just say it with me. It'll die. It'll die. If the tree is severed from the roots, it will not live. So what happens if you're separated from Jesus? What happens? You'll die. I know, it kind of almost sounds morbid, doesn't it? Well, it should. It should wake us up a little bit. Because our spiritual trees are meant to be grounded in Christ. And if they're not grounded in Christ, then we're going to spiritually die. And not just spiritually die, all of us are going to one day physically die. It's a guarantee. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I spiritually grounded in Christ? And you might be asking yourself, okay, Pastor, what does that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that too. So, this is the reason why it's so important. Our rooted theme verse is, it's not just a theme verse for us as a church. It's also a verse for us to understand for us individually. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 8. Or 5 through 8, says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Cursed are those. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. I love that. We understand blessings, and we understand curses. Curse is the person that puts their trust in a human, who doesn't allow their roots to grow deep into the soil. Their roots don't ever touch the water, and they turn away from God. Now again, not my words, God's words, cursed. Is that person. They're like a stunted shrub. Last time I checked, I don't think any of us want to be a stunted shrub. But blessed. Blessed is the person who puts their trust in the Lord, and they've made the Lord their hope and confidence. Okay, so what about that then? If you put your trust in God, what does that look like? Well, right here it says they're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. Man, how much heat is on you right now? I'm not talking about me preaching. I'm just talking about in general in life. Doesn't it feel like sometimes that you're like that sausage rolling around in the gas station grill, right? You know which one I'm talking about. You look at it and you just kind of go, how long has that been there? And the person's like, oh no, it's fresh. I just put it on like 20 minutes ago. Yeah, maybe 20 minutes when you got here this morning on your shift. And that thing's just rolling around underneath the heat lamp, looking all gnarly. And you know, if you pick that sucker up, you could like prop the door open with it, cracking and whatnot. Don't you feel like that sometimes? Isn't that the way life feels like sometimes? And you got to ask yourself, how long am I going to roll around this grill of life? Y'all are going to forget that. You're not going to forget. Every time you walk into a gas station, you're going to be like, how long am I going to roll around on the grill of life? So think to yourself, that's the way it feels sometimes. Life is not easy. It's not. But your spiritual root structure can make all the difference in the world for how you get through it. Your spiritual root structure can determine the trajectory, the height, the growth, even the depth of your life can be identified through your spiritual tree. These are important things. When we think about this, I can't help but picture this with me. This is literally a tree in In Namibia, in Africa, it is actually Sub-Sahara Africa. It's the driest part of Sub-Sahara Africa. It's literally, this tree is right between the Namib and the Kalahari Desert. The rainfall in this country is literally measured in millimeters. Right? Crazy. Anything that is living in this desert is relying upon groundwater. Water that you can't see. You would literally have to dig and dig and dig until you actually found a ground source. And there's not a lot of it either. But this is amazing. The driest country in all of Sub-Sahara Africa has these incredible trees that are all located, where do you think? Next to water. They ain't dumb. Trees ain't dumb. They know. They're like, if I'm going to grow up in Sub-Sahara Africa, I better put myself right next to a source of water. Because then, look, life is sustained even in the middle of the desert. They're planted along the riverbank. But here's the question. What if that same tree stopped short of its roots actually getting into the water? What would happen to the tree? Right, you already know. It would die. This is important. I can't overemphasize enough that your roots getting into the source of life is what's going to give you life. Your roots getting close to the source of life is not going to bring you life. You have to know this. Your roots getting into the source of life is going to produce fruit in you that you didn't even know yourself you had the ability to produce. Because you didn't produce it on your own. It was Christ's source of life in you, producing fruit, amazing fruit. So, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. So, in your pew Bibles, if you're using the pew Bible, which is right in front of you on the pew rack, it's on page 764. And let me tell you this morning, I want to make sure you hear this. Those pew Bibles are gifts to you. So, if you need a Bible this morning, I want you to take that Bible with you as a gift. If you know somebody who needs a Bible, we want you to take it with you and give it to them as a gift. We actually are in the process right now. We might be a little short because we have to reorder more Bibles. We should celebrate that. You know what I'm saying? Right? That was lame. I just got to admit, that was lame. We have to so many Bibles have gone out of our sanctuary that we have to order more. Thank you. Even though that was a courtesy clap. We need to be excited. We need to get excited about the fact that God's word goes from this place. We need to be thrilled that there is a person in Venezuela right now who is reading from one of our Bibles because their family member knew that they needed one. I mean, our Bibles have gone international. That's cool. That's cool. So get excited about that. So Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells a parable. It's another parable, and it talks about the soil. And not just the soil, but I want to make sure that we're really clear about what the soil is. The soil that Jesus is actually referencing here is it's referencing the soil of our heart. The seed that he references, it's multifaceted. It's Christ is the seed, but it's also the word of God. So I want you to think, as we're talking through this parable, we're going to highlight one aspect of it for sure. When we're talking about it, we're talking about the seed being planted in the soil of our heart. Okay? So in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 3, it says, listen, this is Jesus. He's telling a parable, which is it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and they ate it. Verse 5. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So did you catch it? Did you catch in verse 5 and 6 how important these verses are for us this morning? Verse 5, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. Shallow soil. Underlying rock. When we think about that being the aspect of our heart, what is the depth and the richness of our heart? What is the consistency of our heart? Does it have underlying rock in it that makes it more difficult for the roots to be able to take hold? Because this is, Jesus is talking to us this morning. He's helping us to understand that everything can look great. In fact, they'll even sprout very quickly. But that very quick growth also leads to trouble. Because as much as you grow up, you also need to grow down. As much as your spiritual tree is growing and becoming green and full of life, if you don't grow down, again, it's not going to be sustainable. The rocky part and the underlying rock, it's the part that you can't see, but it's still there. And then verse 6 really drives it home. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Since it didn't have deep roots, it died. This is, I know it's a challenging message, but it's an important message. These are moments and opportunities. You're not here by accident. You're not hearing these words just by happenstance. You're here and you're hearing these words because God wants to get your attention and he wants you to evaluate. He wants you to look at what does the roots of my spiritual tree look like. And I know you might be sitting here this morning and going, Pastor, I don't have any spiritual roots. I don't know what you're talking about. And it's okay because you can. You can. You see, our roots are all grounded in something. Our roots are already there. You have a root system. But you have to ask yourself, what is it rooted in? Because like I mentioned before, our root system is going to determine the strength and the health of our tree. So what I want to say is, get your health, get your roots to a healthy point. Have your roots being driven into fertile, nutrient-rich soil, into God's word. Because then it's going to change the health of your spiritual tree. Actually, it won't just change the health of your spiritual tree. It'll change your tree. It'll change your life. You'll be able to navigate things that you didn't think were possible to navigate before. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to you, and you've come up to me and you said, you know, a year ago, I never would have been able to do what I just did. And I say, well, why do you think that is? Because I'm in a different place now. Because my roots, maybe not be saying this, but this is what I hear. Because my roots are now being planted in fertile soil. In soil that's sustainable, that will help me grow and help me move forward. Now, all of this leads up to this question. How deep are your spiritual roots? So I'm going to ask the band to come back. And the song before we went to prayer talks about taking it all to Jesus. I surrender. Take it all. My life is in your hands. And this is what we're going to do. I'm just going to ask I'm going to ask the band to just play softly for a few minutes, and I want you to get this card that you were handed when you walked in this morning. So you were all handed a card. Now, if you don't have this card, would you just raise your hand? Okay, so we have a couple of people. Larry, could you help me with getting these cards distributed? So Larry's going to help us out. Thanks, Steve. And you're going to notice on here that there are ones and tens, right? So this is what I want you to do. While the band just plays quietly, I want you just to look at your spiritual tree. Now, these are the things that we identified earlier as being important to our spiritual growth. You can see on here Bible reading, sharing, which would be sharing your faith, prayer, being in community, in the good community, life-giving community, in a small group or a life group, by serving. You know, who are we giving back to in giving? Giving is a part of our spiritual root system, our quiet time with God, and then lastly, worship. And we put in parentheses next to worship just for the sake of our time together, just being here Sundays, being consistent to be a part of the body of Christ. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to start, everybody's going to start at the one, and we're going to let you color in church. How cool is that? I always loved coloring in church when I was a kid. But what I want you to do is I want you to color in your roots. Now, for example, if Bible reading, if you haven't read your Bible in a long time, or you don't have a consistent time with reading the Bible, you're only going to color in, you know, it's like a scale of 1 to 10. Come up with whatever number you believe on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being, you know, I read consistently every day. I might miss every once in a while, but for the most part, I'm very, very consistent. And if that's you, you're going to take your root all the way out to the 10. So all of these are based on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, what I want you to do is just spend some quiet time. Just quiet time. And do me a favor. Keep this personal. Okay? This is not meant for public consumption unless you want to share it. And it's also not meant for your neighbor. Don't cheat, because that doesn't make sense. That just doesn't make sense. Don't copy off of the person next to you. But if you need to spread out, spread out. But take the time now. God is providing you an opportunity to assess what's going on. And just be honest. Be honest. Look at how God is leading you. And then as we close the service, we're just going to sing that song. So take a few minutes and just color in your spiritual roots. On a scale of 1 to 10 in each of those areas, color in as much as you can or that you feel represents you this morning. And in just a few minutes, we're going to start the song and we'll end our service, okay? Let's pray together before you do. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these moments. I thank you for these reflective opportunities. I thank you, Lord, that you provide these times when we can assess and really take a hard look at how you're moving in our lives. And Lord, we know that this is meant to be private, but you know. And your desire is to see our spiritual roots grow deeper and deeper so that our spiritual tree will be as healthy as it possibly can be. So Lord, help us and reveal to us how we need to fill this out now. And it's your name we pray. Amen.